The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to Dark Side of the Pooch. My man to my left here on our, of course, YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio came up with the name of that. It's a great title. Of course, I was looking for a title that had something to do with what we talk about. We're talking about dog and cat care and then at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. And then I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be classic rock. And man, you got everything in Dark Side of the Pooch. So a lot of people are like, Dark Side of the Pooch, what is that? And I'm like, I mean, just and it gets people asking questions. So it's great. So kudos to you. It was like you were holding on to that title for some very special occasion until I came along and we created a show out of it. So I love it.
Came to me while I was putting my son to bed.
There you go. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Yeah. Yeah. I got nothing to complain about. I saw a fantastic concert at Saturn on Saturday night. My wife's 40th birthday is this Wednesday.
Nice. So what concert did you see?
A guy by the name of MJ Linderman. He is closer to my son's age than me. And that hit me like a ton of bricks when I was in the venue and I was like looking at his Wikipedia. I was like, oh, he's 25. Oh, he's closer to my son's age than me.
Wow.
But, so, you know, that was kind of, you know, surreal. But he's like a kind of an indie kind of, almost like a, if you like Dinosaur Jr., that kind of cult, kind of fuzzy alternative rock band in the 90s. Think about that mixed with a steel guitar. He's got a great sound.
Wow. Okay. I was thinking about you in several ways. First of all, last night on the Grammys, the Beatles won a Grammy last night.
And the Stones.
So I was thinking to myself, all right, the Beatles win. Of course, they broke up 55 years ago, which was pretty amazing. While Beyonce is sitting there winning her 35th Grammy last night for Best Album, the first time she's done that. I just thought that was crazy that classic rock is still incredibly relevant. And then I was hearing in a story, there was something on NPR about David Lynch this morning that I heard, and they did a whole thing on Eraserhead. I have not seen that movie. I know that you probably have.
Many times, and how
the first time it came out, you either had to see it again, or you're like, what in the hell did I just sit through? I'll never want to see it again. So you were either a Lynch fan or not right off the get go, but it was a cult favorite. Like the minute it was released as a black and white. So,
good.
I have not seen that. So it made me want to go see it.
Yeah. We need to have a Lynch watch party. Once a month, we need to get together, watch a Lynch film.
Yeah, and I was talking to Kip Kiefer for another show, a Kiefer and Curry show. We were doing a segment today called Dead or Alive. We were talking about Quincy Jones in memoriam. They did last night a very apropos and beautiful remembrance of his life. And somehow we started talking about Blazing Saddles. We were like, both of us, like, I haven't seen Blazing Saddles like in a long time. So maybe I have to do like a Eraserhead Blazing Saddles. That would be a hell of a duopoly right there, wouldn't it?
That's a double feature for the ages.
That is a double feature for the, we have to find a drive through to get that bad boy going on. All right.
I recommend watching Eraserhead first, and then Blazing Saddles can erase all of your bad dreams.
There you go.
That you would have.
Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got some email questions we'll get into. Of course, you could always hashtag or slash and put Dark Side right after that, so I don't have to go fumbling through a bunch of emails because we do 18 different shows here on Tony Curry Radio, but I'll find the stuff, and I always do. We got a couple of interesting questions we're going to get into in here in just a few minutes. First thing is 2080301 Rossbridge Animal Hospital is where you're at out there, beautiful Rossbridge, and of course rossbridgevet.com is your website. Anything interesting happened since the last time we spoke? By the way, people love when we talk about movies and classic rock. I get all these emails talking about, I tuned in and I heard you guys talking about David Lynch for a half an hour. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's what we do. We talk about different things that are interesting to us. There's only so many questions we can ask about, you know, Fido and Keycat, but anything interesting happened at the store the last few days that you want to share with our listening or viewing audience?
Well, I mean, we had, every time you ask me this question, like sometimes I wonder, oh, have we talked about this before? But I don't think that we've ever really just kind of talked about chronic kidney disease that happens as dogs and cats get older. Basically what happens is you're going to start to see, your pets urinate more frequently and maybe even drink more water, might start to lose a little bit of weight and might start to get, where they have GI problems like vomiting and stuff like that. So we see that pretty routinely, and it's fresh on my mind because we diagnosed a dog most likely chronic kidney disease this morning. And the best thing to do is to, you know, every year when it's time for your pet to come in, if it's 6 years or older, have some blood work run on it, because that's how you figure it out. And the earlier that you catch it, the longer that they can live, because there are things we can do to protect the kidneys, like change their diet, put them on certain medications. So, you know, if you've got an older pet and they're drinking more water and peeing more than they have in the past, and put that on your radar.
At what age we locked? Are we talking 10, 12, 8, 9? When you say older, what are you saying?
This dog was 13, okay. Close to 13.
Gotcha.
And it's a Boston. So, you know, its life expectancies, maybe 15, you know? So towards the end of their life, but we can make the end of their life better.
Yeah. I am so glad you brought this up because it reminded me of a question I wanted to ask you. I've been taking my dog, on a 3 or 4 mile walk every day. Okay. It takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours. It gets me out, gets me exercise. He's loving it. It's been great for us. Even when it rains, we take him on walks. And obviously I give him water during the walk. I'll take a couple bottles of water. Unless we're walking around a lake, then I'll let him get in the lake and drink a lake water, whatever. Is there any reason why I should never let him drink water if he's thirsty? And the reason I ask is I know when he drinks water, he's going to pee. And then I'll give him a really long walk. He'll come home, he'll drink a gallon of water, and I let him outside, and then obviously he comes back and he's still thirsty. Should I pick up the water bowl? Is he going to be okay for the night, or do I just allow him to drink himself out and just have to take him back out again? I know you lift your water bowls, and if you don't lift your water bowls, if you don't want your dog to pee in the house, don't let him have any pee in him. So, you know, you just don't let him drink water whenever they want. But it seems like he only drinks water when he's really thirsty. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll go back to the first thing that you said, you let him drink out of ponds.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that grabbed my attention. In the springtime, today it feels like spring is here, and it's like February 3rd.
I know.
Springtime is coming. And in that time, sometimes ponds can get this algae bloom. It's blue green algae. It can shut down a dog's liver in a few hours.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can normally see it in ponds. It's just algae blooms.
Yeah.
Now not all algae blooms are, hepatotoxic, meaning toxic to the liver.
Does it help if the water's running? Cause I usually walk him to the Cahaba River. It's right there by Chase. And so I make sure the water, I usually don't like him to drink something that's stagnant, you know, if it's running like pond, like puddles and stuff, I don't let him drink out of the stuff, but if it's running water, I feel like he's probably okay.
Yeah. So avoid algae. If you see algae in ponds, don't let him drink that. Any kind of, really any natural water, there's a possibility that it could have something like Giardia in it. And Giardia is it's almost like a pseudo parasite. It's kind of like a hybrid parasite bacteria. Mm-hmm. And it can give them really bad diarrhea. And hikers and stuff get that too from drinking like water from streams. You know, hear about these people that, you know, are maybe not the most seasoned hikers, and they think they can just, oh, look, there's, you know, a stream, it looks okay, let's drink it. Mm-hmm. And then if you're out on a long hike, like, I mean, if you're, you know, going to spend weeks, you know, on the Appalachian Trail or something, I mean, that's, you want to talk about a great way to die. Drink natural flowing water and get Giardia and get dehydrated and nice. Die in the wilderness. So, I don't want to be like overprotective and be, you know, someone who just probably takes too much precaution, but I would caution anybody to, you know, not let their dog drink any natural occurring water outdoors if possible.
Yeah, you ain't no Bear Grylls, man. You ain't no fun here. I mean, what's going on with you now? You can't boil it, right? If you boil water, you're safe, right? Okay. Then is there a certain amount of time you have to boil it? Just once it bubbles, you're good, right?
I do not know. I don't know the answer to that.
I think once it boils, it's dead.
I mean, I would think the longer you boil it, the safer you are.
I had to laugh. I took him for a walk last week, and there's a patch of grass that's really dark green grass. It's pretty tall, and he eats the same patch of grass every time we go for a walk. We go down the right-hand side of this lake, And it's just, you know, and it's they don't cut the grass there. So it's just, and he loves this long grass. And so he'll sit there and he'll chew it. And of course, you and I have had a million conversations on why do dogs eat grass? Is there a reason why they eat the grass? Do they like eating grass? I've noticed he's been eating poop lately, which is really strange. I don't know why he's never been a dog poop eater, but lately he's been sniffing out dog poop. So I have to be careful, but he eats this grass. And so I walked him for about 6 miles and we go pretty slow and we sit and we rest. It's not like I'm running him hard. He's pulling me the whole way. And we get in the car and he lets out this, I don't even know what it was. It was like a burp. Something came out of his stomach and this patch of grass, like about the size of my head, just came out of his throat, like all at once. It was cool. It was like I could have laid someone on my lawn, man. Seriously, it was almost like a foot of Georgia or something like that. They all came up in one thing and just landed. It was, and I just picked it up and threw it out the window. Like it was already processed and stuff. It had no spit or anything on it. It was the most wildest thing I ever seen, but I'd never seen that much stuff come out of him at one time. And then he was fine. He just was kind of like, hey, you know, no big whoop. I'm ready to go. But
he's been storing that grass in his stomach for a month.
Oh, dude, it was wild. It was crazy. All right. We have a couple things I want to get into here. Some email questions. But first, I want to ask you this question. Medical director of a Good Heart Animal Health Center. It's out of Colorado. They've created a brand new medication that is supposed to help our dogs live a longer life. Primarily, this is for bigger dogs, for metabolic inefficiencies, which can make dogs, I guess, die at an earlier age. And they're doing placebo studies right now. And I think they've got like 1,200 dogs. They're actually doing the study all around the United States. And if it, they're thinking within by the end of the year, they'll know if this drug actually works. Of course, you have to work it out because it's been going on for years because you have to know how long, much longer. I mean, if a dog lives an extra month, it's not really worth it. It has to see right. How much longer, but evidently they're believing it can add maybe a couple of years to the life of a dog. And of course, this article is like, you know, any second longer with our animals would be wonderful, you know, and I'm kind of going, you know, and so I'm a little like, be careful what you wish for. You know, I don't know if we need to bring back the woolly mammoth. I really don't. I think it'd be really cool to see, but I don't know if I'd want to see a herd of woolly mammoths again. I just don't know. They died for a reason and it's God's plan. And so dogs live between 10 and 14 or 15 years old. Once in a while, you get an 18-year-old. Once in a while they die when they're six. It's part of life. And so I don't like screwing with life. I don't think we need to live to be 120 or 130 years old. I think 90 is good. If you can make it to 90 by then, we're pretty much useless anyway. We're just sitting in a chair, drooling all over ourselves, playing bingo. So what's your thoughts on trying to keep our animals alive longer? You're a vet. So, I mean, you want more dogs, the better, but you know, you lose an animal, you're more likely going to get a new one. But what's your thoughts on trying to keep our animals living longer with medical practices?
I think if it's good quality, then it's great. I think that if it's bad quality, then it's not so great. You know, if the dog is having a lot of medical problems and being a burden on its owners, and you know, with that comes kind of the deterioration of the bond that they've created, which, you know, the main reason we have pets is for that human animal bond. And so if it can give them good quality for longer, then that's great. But you know, I think that I don't know enough about this thing. Yeah. You know, we were talking a little bit about it before the show, and you know, there are a lot of people that make a lot of money in the animal industry, and if things are worth selling and things are worth buying, then mm-hmm. there are going to be people out there that will come and knock on your door to sell it. Yeah. And I haven't heard about this from anyone. Okay. And normally it's either too early to know if it's going to work, too early to know if people are going to pay for it, or it ain't worth doing.
And it ain't going to be cheap. I mean, there's no way it could be cheap. I mean, we're paying $1,000 a month for Wegovy, for God's sakes. We're going to be paying a lot more than that to keep it. And I'm assuming it's something you're going to have to give your dog every month, like a heartworm tablet or something. If you miss a month, you know, he probably, that's kind of silly. Yeah. I saw a commercial today for, is it Dr. Marty's? Have you seen this Dr. Marty's dog food now? What the hell's going on there? There's have you seen it? You know what I'm talking about? Marty's nourishment dog food. It's the same thing. So we're already going back to the kibbles. We're already getting, it looks like dog food. It's standard dog food. It's the same color. It doesn't look like the stuff in the refrigerator. It doesn't look like vegetables or meats or anything. It looks like dog food, but yet it's supposed to be like the purest form of, it's like it's called Dr. Harvey something or other, or Dr. Daryl something or other. And it's this old dude that used to be a veterinarian is making these bags of dog food. Have you heard about it? It's supposed to be like special dog food. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I think he had something happen with one of his dogs. I think it was copper accumulation. So labs are really prone to this thing, where they, there is copper in dog food.
Mm-hmm.
And so labs are real predisposed to eating, you know, that, and then that copper, it's called copper storage disease. And so the copper accumulates in the liver.
Yep.
And it can cause a lot of problems. And I think this guy's story, if I'm remembering correctly, that he's a veterinarian and his own personal lab died from this. And so it kind of sparked this, you know, food for him. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. I saw a commercial for it today. I was like, what is this stuff? What? And it came up like on CNN or something. I was like, what? By the way, our show today, Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Seth and his entire crew, they opened up a year in October. As a matter of fact, they have a wonderful store down there on Citation Lane down there in Homewood. They do all kinds of comics, unopened toys in the box, Legos, Star Wars, Battlestar Galactic, you name it. They've got watches. They got all kinds of jewelry, all kinds of cool stuff down there. And also, of course, Ed's Pet World still remains open down there in beautiful Homewood. As a matter of fact, I'm going to stop down there in the next couple of days, get some chinchilla food and get myself a rat for my book. But they got all kinds of wonderful things down there, exotic pets at Ed's Pet World and Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Pete in Birmingham wants to know, why does some dog poop turn white?
Oh, it's diet related. You know, maybe it's maybe they've eaten something around the house, or maybe it's something in their food.
You know what's weird is I don't remember. It's so weird that you bring that up, because I remember seeing lots of white dog put up north, but I don't remember seeing dog. I don't think I've seen a white turd since I've been here.
Yeah. I mean, it has to do with what they eat. You know, whatever. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly what turns it white, but what goes in comes out. Yeah. It doesn't, my doesn't happen with my dog, but I've seen it in the South. So it's not just a northern thing. But it doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong, but it's something that they're eating that's doing it.
And it makes it a lot easier to pick up too, because when it turns white, it's like it gets harder, faster, like it almost mummifies.
And it's like dust too.
It's like dust. Yeah. I mean, you can kick it in the shoe. Yeah. It only takes about a week. If it's not raining, you can just kick it out in the street. It's great. Susie in Northport wants to know, is there anything I could write off my 2025 or 2024 taxes with my dogs? She doesn't say specifically what she's talking about here. I did a little research. There are some things that you can actually write off. There are some medical things you can write off from a therapeutic standpoint, depending on if your dog is certified therapeutic and you buy it food, then you can write some of that stuff off. You obviously want to talk to your H&R Block person or your tax advisor about those things. But you can certainly do that. There are business deductions you can take off. And also if you foster pets or if you help it in that way, you can also write some things off. But yeah, you can write some things off for your parts and your pooch to make sure that, and I would imagine, what's the strangest thing that you've tried to write off in your taxes being a vet? Is there anything weird that you've ever tried to write off?
No, I have a CPA that is very by the book. I run everything by him, and he is not about the gray area.
Yeah.
One time, and if anybody's looking for an accountant out there, his name's Dean Ledbetter. He's awesome. But anyway, so, occasionally I will go do house call euthanasias, mm-hmm. Across town, and people, either the dog or cat's too sick to come in, or the owner is just very adamant that they don't like coming to the vet. Then, we will do that from time to time. And so I told him, I said, Dean, I use my, vehicle to, mm-hmm. to call on some of these places. So can I, you know, write my truck payment off, or can I write the gas off? Or, and he said, listen, if you're not using your vehicle for a decent percentage of your business, then it's too risky and I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I know you can write off the mileage. You can't write off the alternator and all that garbage. But usually you can write off the mileage. And I don't know what it was. I used to do a lot of bar gigs. And one was in Jasper and I was driving 2 hours one way, you know, once a week. And I was like, this is crazy. And so you can write off the mileage and stuff, but you have to have a log. You have to keep track of it. And yeah. And it's the first red flag. They're going to look at that and go, you're a veterinarian. Yeah. Why would you be writing off your mileage? So, that's certainly something, you don't want to be looking at, but, yeah, that's kind of strange. All right. I just want to give you a heads up. I believe, the hunting party, I think, is on tonight. It's either tonight or tomorrow night, at 8:00. You want to check it out. It's really good. I'm seeing a lot of commercials for it. As a matter of fact, when I pulled up Zoom, there was a commercial on my Zoom for it, was kind of weird. So make sure you check that out. I think that's it. I think that's all we had to get through today. We just had a couple questions, but I'll get some more emails for you and, short, right, and fight. Maybe we get after it. That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Tell people how they can find you and where you're available on Happy February. What you got?
Yeah, you can give us a call, 208-0301. You can find us rossbridgevet.com, or you can find us on Facebook.
Fantastic. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. I'll talk to you next week.
See you, man.
See you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.